Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and as a native New Yorker, I completely understand how Lou Reed feels about this city. Here's the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer in the 1995 movie Blue in the Face.
I actually feel pretty comfortable in New York. I get scared like in Sweden. You know, it's kind of empty, they're all drunk, everything works. You go to the medicine cabinet and open it up and there'll be a little poster saying, in case of suicide, call. You turn on the TV, there's an ear operation. These things scare me. New York, no.
But even Lou Reed has wrestled with the question of whether he might actually want to leave New York.
I don't know very many people who live in New York who don't also say, but I'm leaving. And I've been thinking of leaving for 35 years now. I'm almost ready.
Yeah, famous last words. 18 years later, Lou Reed is still here. But not everyone who comes to New York stays in New York. And not everyone who stays in New York loves New York. And some of the people who do leave New York still love it. This is all very confusing to me. Fortunately, Sari Botten is here to sort it all out. She's a writer and the editor of a new anthology about artists and their complicated relationship with New York. Later, we'll hear from one of New York's native sons, Daryl McDaniels. You know him as DMC from the great hip-hop group Run DMC. And some musicians who've come to New York temporarily from Austin, Texas, for this week's annual CMJ Festival, White Denim will play live. So, look, this happens all the time. People, tons of artists, writers, musicians, whatever, they come to New York, they leave New York, sometimes they come back to New York. Sari Botten's collection of essays is called Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. Sari, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the book sort of takes its name from an old Joan Didion essay.
Correct.
So that was your starting point?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the whole book is inspired by that essay, which I relate to and aspire to. It's such a great piece of work.
Well, it seems like, you know, looking at this book, that there are many people for whom this thing is an inspiration, either in one direction or in another, you know, sort of agreeing with Joan Didion's original concept, which, describe the, sum up her original essay for us, if you would.
The way that I sum it up for people as quickly as I can is to say that it's Joan Didion writes about arriving in New York at 20, starry-eyed, and leaving New York at 28, bleary-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people relate to that.
Now, was it a somewhat taboo topic when Joan Didion first broached it, and is it still today?
I don't know about... I think it was probably sort of new at the time for somebody to sort of say, wow, New York, maybe not that great. And now there are people who are upset with the book, upset with me. You know, I see on Twitter people saying things like, this goodbye to New York trend is terrible. You know, it's not true. New York is still great. And that's not what the book is about.
Right.
The book is really more a bunch of love letters to New York City than anything.
Some written from within the city and some written from afar.
Exactly. I've got several contributors who either moved back or never left, and I've even got one who never moved here.
So now your story, you did come to New York around age 20, 22?
I first came to the city at 22, then left, and then came back at 26 and was here until 2005. I would have been 40.
Mm-hmm. So what brought you here the first time?
You know, what brings everybody here, you know, wanting to make it as whatever you are. And for me, it was a writer. So I wanted to make it as a writer.
But there seems to be a certain kind of attraction to artists.
Absolutely.
You know, writers, musicians, visual artists, you know, New York has long been this magnet. I mean, it's a magnet, as you say, for many people. But there's a particular pull, it seems, for creative people.
Well, you know, it's the world's greatest cultural center.
So then why leave?
Well, while it is the world's greatest cultural center and probably always will be, it's becoming more of a place to come once you've already made it, because it's just gotten exponentially more expensive and more difficult for, you know, artists who are struggling to live here.
Well, you know, the timing of the book, Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York, the timing is impeccable, because this has become a theme in the mayoral race, you know.
Yes.
The economic inequality, the cost of living being a major issue. And there's this David Byrne op-ed piece, which I'm sure you've read.
Yes.
Either in The Guardian in the UK or at the website Creative Time here, where he writes almost exactly what you just said. David Byrne writes, there is no room for fresh creative types. Middle-class people can barely afford to live here anymore, so forget about emerging artists, musicians, actors, dancers, etc. Bit by bit, the resources that keep the city vibrant are being eliminated. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And he's not the first musician of his era to say that. A couple of years ago, Patti Smith was quoted, I think in a conversation with Jonathan Lethem, I'm not entirely sure, but she said, you know, she advised young creative people to look elsewhere. And I think one of the places she recommended was Poughkeepsie, which is just across the river from me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so about 2 hours north of Manhattan.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Sari Botten, the editor of the new anthology, Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. It's not just writers. James Murphy, LCD Sound System. Do you know this song?
Not only do I know it, I tried to make a book trailer with it, could not get the rights.
Well, here, listen to a little bit of the song now. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down, from LCD Sound System.
New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. New York, you're safer, and you're wasting my time. Our records all show you were filthy but fine. But they shuttered your stores when you opened the door. The cops who were bored once they'd run out of crime. New York, you're perfect, oh please don't change a thing. Your mild billionaire mayor's now convinced he's a king. And so the boring collect, I mean all disrespect, in the neighborhood bars I'd once dreamt I would drink. New York, I love you, but you're freaking me out.
James Murphy and LCD Sound System, from their album Sound of Silver, which came out in 2007. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. Sari Botten is editor of the new anthology, Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. So this is a 2007 record. You left town for good just around that time, right?
Well, I don't want to say that I left for good. Uh-huh. As I say in my introduction, if I win the lottery, the first thing I do is buy an apartment here. So,
And you still, you tell us in your story that you still keep a Metro card in your wallet.
I certainly do. I'll show you if you want me to prove it.
I believe you.
I left in 2005.
Why?
We got kicked out of an amazing loft on 8th and B that we had been paying very little money for, and the building got landmarked. And long story short, I mean, the next tenant was Michel Gondry, and the tenant after that was Matt Dillon. So
you were priced out.
Way priced out.
Yeah. Listeners, what do you think? Have you ever wrestled with the idea of leaving New York? Why did you stay, or why did you go? You can post a comment on our website, soundcheck.org, or leave your story on our listener line, which is 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612. We're talking specifically about, you know, writers, artists loving and possibly leaving New York. But, you know, it's something that many people in all walks of life have to deal with. Your compilation, Sari, is 28 writers. They're all women, as it turns out. Was that the intent?
Not originally. I hate to say this, but, you know, I'm very grateful that Seal published the book. I loved working with them, but I had wanted to publish a co-ed anthology, and I had some really great men lined up to contribute. But I had to go behind my agent's back to get to do this. Every agent I've ever had has said, no, you're not doing an anthology. It's too much work. Nobody can make any money off of it. And so I went behind her back and, you know, I don't know how to go out and get a book deal. And so I went here and there, and ultimately I found a publisher that publishes books by women for women. And I love the book, and I feel really grateful. But if I had my druthers, yeah. Co-ed.
So do you think women have a different experience of New York City from men?
I do think women do have a little bit of a different experience. You know, women have a different experience of everything, and also just, you know, climbing any kind of ladder, it's more difficult for women. We make less money than men. And also women have to decide earlier. Mm-hmm. Than men, whether they're going to have a family. Yeah. And having a family in New York City is hard.
So what has the reaction to the book been so far?
Mostly it's been really, really positive.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's well exceeded my expectations. The book has been flying off of shelves and been really ranked very high on Amazon. I mean, it's just been incredible. But there are also some people who are just... not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, does this mean that where I live is no good? Does this mean that everybody's leaving New York? And it's a collection of essays about the concept of leaving New York. It's not 28 anti-New York screeds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, a manifesto about how one should leave New York. It's a book about this thing that I think everybody thinks about.
Yeah. What about, is there a danger of kind of romanticizing the good old, bad old days of New York when, you know, as Deborah Harry of Blondie once put it on our show, when real estate was garbage and garbage was everywhere? a line I will never forget.
There is that. And I think every generation, you know, looks back, you know, at a different level of garbage. And but I also think, though, that there's been such a rapid escalation of, you know, real estate prices and the cost of living that I think it's different. It's not just that I'm, you know, romanticizing grit. I could afford to live here. I could afford to have an apartment by myself.
Right.
I can't do that now. There's no returning for me unless I win the lottery.
Well, one of your contributors, Cheryl Strayed, the author of Wild, the hiking memoir, talks about, you know, coming from Minnesota, living in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, on 7th Avenue, she writes, at a time when you actually could still live on 7th Avenue in Park Slope. And she's, you know, she's talking about like 1992. You know, which was not, I mean, by 92, things were beginning to, you know, they were no longer the crack-addled 80s or the rat-infested 70s, you know. Things had begun, at least, to cycle through. So, I don't know. I mean, it seems like, you know, as you say, every generation has something that they're looking back at.
Yeah, it's perpetual, you know. And also, I mean, I remember in 92 when I was living in the East Village, people still had to... when they were inviting you to Brooklyn, they had to say, it's really nice and it's safe. Right. You should come.
Right.
I remember people saying that all the time when they would have a party. No, it's safe to come to Brooklyn.
Well, let me go back to this David Byrne op-ed piece in The Guardian. He writes, I don't believe that crime, danger, and poverty make for good art. That's BS. But I also don't believe that the drop in crime means the city has to be more exclusively for those who have money. Does it seem like those two things, the drop in crime and the unaffordability factor, have sort of gone hand in hand?
It does seem like they've gone hand in hand. And, you know, the only thing I wish about his essay was that he would offer some kind of a solution. There's, you know, he admittedly is, you know, rich,
mm-hmm.
probably 1% himself.
Which he says, basically,
yeah,
in the piece.
Yeah, he admits that. But, you know, so what do we do about it?
I think what he's doing, I mean, he's not an urban planner or a politician. I think he's simply sort of his role here,
lamenting.
I think, is town crier, you know?
Okay.
There's a barbarian at the gates, and he's incredibly well-dressed and has fistfuls of, you know, hedge fund dollars and stuff. I think he's more sounding an alarm than saying, here's the problem, and this is how we fix it.
Right.
Which, you know, who is
I guess. Okay, I'm sorry, David. I apologize.
Well, you know, and I may be wrong. Maybe he, you know, maybe he does think that he has the answer. It didn't strike me as that kind of an essay.
Oh, I really appreciated his essay, and I just wonder what can be done. You know, I'd love for there to be a solution. And he talks about how, you know, the top tier doesn't pay taxes, and how do we get them to pay taxes?
Right,
you know,
and about how they do support some arts, but they tend to be the higher echelon, you know, high visibility, high profile institutions, and not the struggling, you know, the emerging galleries and, you know, the poets, etc. We're speaking with Sari Botten, editor of this new anthology called Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. And again, I will hasten to say they don't all leave New York. Some leave, some come back. One or two never left. One never even came. That is Roxane Gay, right?
Correct.
Now, you came twice, you left, it's, you know, you're still doing this little dance in the orbit around New York City, you got the MetroCard in your wallet. What do you do for art and culture in upstate New York?
Oh, there's a lot of art and culture in upstate New York. I mean, there's a lot of artists and musicians who left the city. Our number one export is probably not apples or maple syrup, but indie recordings.
And is the digital age a factor? I mean, can you be 2 hours outside of New York, and because you can Skype into your friends, or, you know, watch the same, you know, online performances as people in the East Village, you know, does it sort of mediate the distance?
Yes. A lot of people telecommute. My brother-in-law works for HP from home. That's a very easy thing to do. It's funny, when I first moved up there, I didn't want editors to know that I had moved, and I would call them from my 646 cell phone. And I live next door to the firehouse, and so invariably I'd be on the phone, and all of a sudden this thing would go off.
Well, you know, near the end, to come back to David Byrne's article, again, it's just kismet that this book is out around the same time. He ends his essay by saying, but where will I go? Talking about, you know, if it gets to the point where he feels like New York has lost its edge, its creative edge, and he needs to leave. He says, where will I go? Join the expat hipsters upstate in Hudson? Now, there are a lot of expat artists in upstate New York. Some of them, I know for a fact, have been there for decades. You know, I'm thinking of like the early tape pioneering composer Pauline Oliveros, who has lived in Kingston.
Yes, she does.
Has lived there for at least 30 years, maybe more. So this is not an entirely new sort of migration, it seems.
No, it's not. Todd Rundgren lives on Minkalo Road I guess, Bearsville. There's the Bearsville Theater, which is another great place to go hear music.
Which is near Woodstock.
Yep, just outside Woodstock, and they've got the Bearsville Recording Studio. Not only does everybody have a home set up, Pro Tools, but there's also some, you know, major recording studios there, and people have been there for a long time, and a lot of them, I think, probably also have places in the city.
Yeah.
The bigger names.
So, Sari, once you hit that lottery, first thing is buy a place back here in town?
Absolutely.
All right. You got to buy a ticket first, though. Sari Botten is the editor of the new anthology, Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. Sari, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now?